This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for an evening of civilized jazz, a celebration of our cultural community with awards and cocktails, or a colorful date with history, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. The Arts Council of New Orleans will celebrate individuals and organizations that have made outstanding contributions to the Crescent City at its 2013 Community Arts Awards. And it is also an occasion to officially introduce Kim Cook, the Arts Council's new president and CEO. Kim, welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much, Diane.
This is an exciting time as you celebrate those who have given back to our cultural community. What are your thoughts 4 months in now as you take the reins as CEO of the Arts Council of New Orleans?
Well, I think that I'm incredibly privileged to be in New Orleans, and one of the first things that I get to do is to reach out to these really astonishing people and say, you have been selected, will you accept?
What attracted you to New Orleans?
Well, New Orleans, of course, is really the signature city for the whole United States. If you want to talk about culture and the intersection of culture, there is really nothing else quite like New Orleans, and I'd been here many times before. I had a project here in 2010 where I had the opportunity to meet quite a few of the members of the board and stakeholders of the Arts Council itself, and I thought how wonderful it would be if I could become a character in the story that all of these phenomenal, interesting people represent. And so I'm fortunate enough to have been able to join them now.
You came to us from California?
I did.
Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was born in the San Joaquin Valley. Actually, my grandfather was a farmer. And it's interesting because I've had people here in New Orleans say to me, I know this dirt. And I thought, wow, that is exactly the way that it feels to be a farmer's granddaughter. We know the dirt, the soil from which we come. So that's my beginnings. But also my grandmother sewed and took in ironing to put her 7 children through college. So my grandmother and my mother are both college educated. I'm the 3rd generation college educated female in my family. So I have this kind of combination of knowing the dirt, but aspiring for more intellectually and internationally. My mother really wanted me to live in a big, wide world, and she left the San Joaquin Valley to go to the San Francisco Bay Area where I was raised. So there is a community where you see a lot of sort of diasporic cultures from around the world, and I was immersed from a very early age in what we think of now as participatory art or community art, but which is a part of why my ethos is that the very state of being human is integrated with art. It's not isolated. It's who we are as creative beings. There is some education in there and some time spent in Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. Have a bachelor's and a master's, and also did a fellowship at the Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts. So I have a pretty diverse background in all the ways that you could think of diversity, disciplines and cultures both. And that's part of the draw for me to be in New Orleans.
You have worn many hats in the arts.
I have.
Tell us about this year's honorees. Who are they?
This year, the Community Arts Awards honors 6 individuals and 2 organizations. Living legend and musician James Rivers, art curator and artist Jan Gilbert, incredible Mardi Gras artist and sculptor Henri Schindler, arts director and photographer from the Historic New Orleans Collection John Lawrence, prima ballerina and beloved ballet instructor Mary Monroe, the really amazing and, you know, local hero and actor Brian Batt, and then Preservation Hall, which is kind of a whole world into itself just by saying the name, you evoke the history of New Orleans. And Shakespeare Festival at Tulane University, who really not only do the work of the bard, as they say, but also do unbelievable amounts of outreach and youth education across the community.
And this year, what's new in the presentation of the awards?
We're blowing it up, so to speak. Can't help myself. You know, I am a firm believer that everything you do is a reflection of who you are, and the Arts Council needed to make sure that the aesthetics of the event celebrated New Orleans along with the recipients, and we extended ourselves as far as we could to make sure that it's just going to be consistently celebrating New Orleans as well as the honorees. So we're doing video installation thanks to Solomon Group, who've really stepped up for my vision. We have 8 different video artists who are profiling each of the honorees. We have dancers who will be made up with extraordinary makeup, who will be escorting the honorees. We have the unbelievable, magical, really beautiful Tanya and Doris, who many people see playing violin and guitar on Royal Street. We have opera Creole performing. It's just really a 360-degree experience of why it's fun to be in New Orleans. Henri Schindler will have some of his sculptures, so I think it's going to be pretty phenomenal.
Let's talk about your goals for the future of the Arts Council.
In part, it's absolutely investing in the culture and not taking it for granted and making sure that we find ways to generate revenue that support the artists who are part of the international acclaim of this city. It's also about how we bring up the youth and make sure that they have an opportunity to imprint on their neighborhoods, and recognizing that in this community, bike racks and street signs and park benches and blight are all a part of a collection of opportunities for having design solutions that engage artists and potentially engage young people in continuing to create an environment that esteems them and shows that we esteem ourselves.
And the Kim Cook signature?
Well, if I am supported, if I find the financial wherewithal for this organization to do the kinds of things that I would want to do, then I think the Kim Cook signature is that we will have created increased opportunities for artists to have money for the work that they do, and we will have engaged youth to transform the physical environment of the city.
Kim, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you, Diane. I hope you'll be on the team that helps me get it done.
Kim Cook is the new CEO and president of the Arts Council of New Orleans. The 2013 Community Arts Awards will be held next Tuesday, September 24th, from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Contemporary Arts Center, 900 Camp Street. More info online at communityartsaward.eventbrite.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. Singer-songwriter Sybil Gage is a New Orleans native who, after many years away from the city, in New York and Florida, is returning tomorrow night for her Crescent City debut with a performance at the Old U.S. Mint. WWNO's Fred Kasten picks up the story.
Sybil Gage grew up uptown in New Orleans' 13th Ward, in a home where great New Orleans music was always on the record player.
Oh, I can just see the 45s. A lot of Barbara George, a lot of Fats Domino, James Booker, Bobby Peterson, Chuck Jackson, people like that, you know, early Aaron Neville.
Then there was the live music at the club next door.
We lived next to a club, and we could hear the music all the time. So I had music all the time. In my bedroom, I could hear the bass playing, and I just could hear all the people inside the club having fun. So in my mind, that was where people went to have fun.
Sybil Gage took piano and voice lessons, sang with a couple of garage bands. Then after high school, talked herself into a job as the overnight disc jockey at WYLD and spent her evenings catching great New Orleans music live.
I used to go down to see the Neville Brothers at Jimmy's all the time, to see Charmaine all the time. I'd run around to see Bonnell Gibson at Houlihan's and James Booker at Lou and Charlie's. And it was just a real... I lived on Esplanade and Rampart, so I had the whole French Quarter to me for all these wonderful musicians that, you know, some of them aren't here anymore, and they really, really made a great impression on me.
After a year at WYLD, Sybil Gage headed to New York City, where she earned a degree in fine art at NYU, continued to work in radio, and got to hear such top-notch singers as Alberta Hunter and Ruth Brown. Gage also kept up something she had started doing in New Orleans in the late 70s, writing songs, with the hope, unrealized it turned out, of placing them with other singers, and eventually decided,
you're going to have to do this, you know? You're going to have to go out and sing these songs and find these musicians and assemble yourself. And really, I've been very lucky. I've gotten some wonderful musicians behind me that really respect the music that I write. And I write my own charts, and they do learn my music, and we have a good time together.
I'm broke and I ain't got no sweet talking, daddy, lend me a dollar bill. I'm broke and I ain't got no sweet talking, daddy, lend me a dollar bill. Done spent all of my nickels and daddy gonna stop me still. Yeah, I'm looking for a daddy, yes indeed I'm ready, let him do as he will. I'm looking for a daddy, yes indeed I'm ready, honey, let him do as he will. Don't have to work hard on it, loving's supposed to be your skill. Look out now, I don't need you here if you can't buy a bottle of beer.
About 10 years ago, Sybil Gage moved to Florida and quickly found excellent musical colleagues there.
The last 8 years, I've had the same piano player, and he will be coming along with me to New Orleans. Mm-hmm. His name is Leon Olguin, and he's just an awesome person to work with.
The two of them will present a varied program tomorrow night at the Mint.
I plan on doing a lot of my original music and probably a lot of jump blues and boogie-woogie and some jazz and gospel.
Will it be the gas chamber? Will it be the hangman's rope? Will it be the electric chair? Or is there some hope, 'cause I'm a three-time loser.
In addition to the music, tomorrow night at the Mint, esteemed New Orleans artist Richard Thomas will be on hand to paint the scene as it happens.
I think it's going to be a beautiful happening, a beautiful scene, a beautiful thing to look at as we're performing. He's just such a great artist that I'm beyond honored to have to be among his collection after this is done.
It's a dream long held and about to come true for singer-songwriter and New Orleans native Sybil Gage to present her music in her hometown. She'll do that tomorrow night in the third floor auditorium at the Old U.S. Mint, foot of Esplanade Avenue. Doors open at 6, the concert starts at 7. Tickets will be available at the door or in advance through Eventbrite, that's Brite.com. For 89.9 WWNO, I'm Fred Caston.
Forgive me if I ask for more. I just can't fill me up. Smell the beignets on the river.
Move over, Prince. In New Orleans, we're going to party like it's 1899, or maybe even a couple of centuries further back in time. A social soiree and performance spectacle called Manifest Destiny will bring to life some of the most noble and notorious characters who have shaped our state's history. This educational and entertaining waltz through history is presented by Louisiana History Alive, an award-winning performance company guided by writer, actor and playwright Miko Makione, who simply goes by Miko, M-I-K-K-O. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Hello, Diane. Thank you for having us.
And I see you have a guest with you.
I do, and I'm trying to be on my best behavior because I have with me one of the great lights of New Orleans history, the venerable Sister Henriette Delisle.
Bonjour.
Oh, my. You look so much like a local actress, Sherry Marina.
Oh, maybe she is a distant cousin. Oh. I've not met her.
I see the resemblance. Miko, you have put together a unique reception that will give people a chance to rub elbows with some colorful characters from the past. Who are we likely to interact with?
Well, you will expect to maybe have tea with the Baroness Pontalba. I believe Colonel Jackson will be down there to describe how he saved New Orleans in the Battle of New Orleans. And I think Captain John Lafitte might even be there. Ooh. Drinking some rum. And I don't know if I can say this on the air, but we will have Josie Arlington from Storyville, who will describe... Sorry, sister.
I pray for her daily.
She will describe maybe some of the goings-on there. John James Audubon, Marie Laveau might do a blessing. And we'll even have some musicians from the 18th century, 19th century, sharing what life was like in that time.
How did you go about choosing the characters for this soiree?
I have a partner in this, the great Veronica Russell, who's a great costumer, and she's my partner in running the company. And everybody in the company is spot on what they do. And we looked at the history of the area, and we said, who are the men, the women, the people of color from the past that really made the whole tapestry of what New Orleans is? So we chose people that not only were great in what they did, but represented something. So Sister Henriette represents not just herself, but what religion and spirituality was like in the days of yellow fever. Andrew Jackson represents not just his amazing career, both good and bad, but what military was like at that time. So we try to cover all the bases that way, so everybody gets something that they can resonate with.
And Sister Henriette, can you tell us more about your character and what we can look forward to?
Well, I cannot wait to meet everyone and say a special prayer on our beloved city of New Orleans. I, as you know, founded the Sisters of the Holy Family, and we continue that work even today.
Sister makes me happy because she turned away a life of wealth and privilege because she might have gone the route of the infamous quadroon balls, where she would have become a mistress to some rich gentleman. Instead, she chose to follow the Lord. We're excited because I'm not in a character today, so I can say this. Veronica designed this beautiful blue costume with the headpiece from a black and white photograph. And they have recently installed a grotto in the front of St. Louis Cathedral with two stained glass windows to Sister Henriette. And she's wearing the exact same outfit. Now, I'm not sure if the artist took it from Veronica's amazing design or if it's just a heavenly coincidence. But it's it's gratifying to see that the characters in our company are starting to really relive the history of the past so that it's vivid for people enough that we're being captured that way.
I wish the audience could see this beautiful costume that you're wearing today.
They will be able to meet myself as well as all of our other friends on September 23rd.
Now tell me more about the company. How did you come to form Louisiana History Alive?
Well, it was actually formed 17 years ago by a gentleman named Lenwood Sloan, and kind of a mad genius. He came up with this idea. He got a bucket load of money and put us on the street. And I've been with the company since the beginning. And about 8 or 9 years ago, he left, and I kind of took over the creative end of things. And then 3 years ago, Veronica and myself actually took the company over and made it into an LLC. And in the early days, we were kind of a feel-good thing. We got money, walked around at Christmas time, and people have always enjoyed our work. These days, we really want to be an attraction for the visitors of New Orleans and for the locals. Each character is not only a historian, but they aren't the kind of people that just dress up on the weekends for fun. These are some of the great actors. I think I counted once. We have about 12 Big Easy Awards among us in the group. I mean, we have people like Dane Rhodes and Diana Shortez and Harold Evans. And Carol Sutton played Henriette for years for us. So this is the caliber of performer that we have in the company. And so it's not just acting, it's not just teaching, and it's not just entertaining. It's kind of a mix of all.
Why do you choose to keep history alive in this manner?
People don't know how rich New Orleans was in 1835. And they don't know how difficult it was right after the Civil War and who the really great people are. it kind of jazzes me to set the record straight. There's so many myths about New Orleans, even about Sister. And yet the truth is so much more fascinating than some of the crazy stuff people come up with. So it's better to engage people that actually get up in your face. I play Napoleon sometime, and people will say, let me tell you about you. And I'll say, okay, please do. And when they're done, I politely set the record straight, because we spend all our time researching this stuff and verifying it. We don't say it unless we find it in a couple of different sources. It's not just like one little book.
Will you be in character at the soiree?
Oui, oui. I will be Capitaine Jean Lafitte.
Now, besides a good time, what are you hoping folks will come away with after attending this date with history?
We want to be an attraction. We want to be people getting off the plane going, I want to see Marie Laveau. We got hired once. This is the fun of the job. The Baroness, Captain Lafitte, a riverboat gambler, and Margaret, the bread lady, we sat at this table in the Pontalba Apartments and had dinner by a gourmet chef, and these VIPs from around the country sat with us, and we just had a gentlemanly discussion of the issues of the 19th century while eating great food in the most historic building in the French Quarter.
How cool is that?
Tough life, huh?
Miko and Sister Henriette, thanks for stopping by.
Merci.
Thanks a lot, Diane.
We were talking with Miko and Sister Henriette DeLille. Louisiana History Alive's Manifest Destiny takes place Monday, September 23rd from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the Parish Room above Café Soleil, 720 St. Louis Street, across from Antoine's. And we have something extra in our Lanyab Corner. Grammy Award-winning jazz trumpeter Irvin Mayfield's biannual lecture, The Courage to Create, with an introduction by UNO President Dr. Peter Foss, and featuring Dr. Michael Sartiski, President and Executive Director of the Louisiana Endowment for the Humanities, takes place tonight at 6 at the University of New Orleans Education Building. A jam session follows at the Cove Student Center with Mayfield and UNO Jazz Studies students. Both the lecture and performance are free and open to the public. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette next Tuesday at 1 p.m. when we'll go inside the arts. I'm Diane Mack.